I'd like you to take your Bibles for a few moments this morning, and if you would, I'd like you to turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I want you to look at verses 26 and 27. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. And I want you to note back in verse 26 the words, there standeth one among you, whom ye know not. It's my desire, and I know it's this church family's desire, it is especially our Savior's desire, that you get to know this one. And who is this one? Look at verse 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, with one express purpose. Jesus himself made this statement, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. That is his reason for coming. We look at the good things that the life of Jesus brought about, the feeding of the poor, the healing of the sick. And sometimes man dwells on those social thoughts of what Jesus' life meant. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that, because one day Jesus Christ will come back to this world and he will establish a rule in which everyone will be treated correctly. There'll be no more governments that will defile and destroy men's lives. The poor will be mended and healed. Those sick will be brought healing. Those days are coming and coming soon. But let me be very plain to you this morning. That is not why he came the first time. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to take away the sin of the world. That means he has the power to forgive and remove your sin and my sin. And we want you to know this one. I want you to understand this morning that this one is the one who has the ability to forgive your sin. He is the one sacrifice for sin. Now, we're going to have you turn in your Bibles for just a few moments. I'd like you to turn over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, toward the end of the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 10. And if you would, look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 12. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He is the one sacrifice for sin. Despite what many say, that there are many ways to God, the Bible declares there is but one way to God. Jesus made the statement in John chapter 14, verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's one way to God. There's one way for entrance into heaven. That comes through Jesus Christ alone. As Peter preached, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, he said these words, Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We are unashamed in declaring the name of Jesus Christ and his name alone. He is the one sacrifice for sin. It was Jesus Christ who went and stood there on Golgotha's hill, was nailed to a cross and raised up between heaven and earth to take away your sin, shed his blood for your sake. A few months ago, I had the opportunity to be in China and stood there amongst the ruins of the Buddhas carved by the monks from centuries past. Buddha has no power to deliver from sin. Amen. Allah has no power to deliver from sin. Amen. Muhammad has no power to deliver from sin. There is one who died, one who rose again, verified by many witnesses, and clarified for 2,000 years, that person is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is the one sacrifice for sin, and it is His sacrifice alone that has the ability to give you salvation, to cleanse you from your sin. He is the one sacrifice for sin, and He is the one who can give you the free gift of salvation. When He died, He wanted to make it possible for you to receive what He was offering, and He has. Look with me at the book of Romans, chapter 5. Romans, chapter 5. I'm going to begin to read the second part of verse 15. Romans, chapter 5, the second statement there in verse 15. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, and that one man was Adam, the man first created by God, the man who chose to sin against God, and that's where the offense came in, and is now passed from Adam to all men. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. He speaks about two men here. The first, Adam. That man created by God was created to have fellowship with God, and he did. Daily, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, that God and Adam literally walked together in fellowship. Until Adam chose to sin against God, chose to disobey what God had given him. One simple command, and he could not keep that command. He chose to sin against God. The Bible tells us, even in Romans chapter 5, because man has sinned, death has now passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Solomon said, there's not a just man on earth that sinneth not. No matter how good you may think you are, the reality is, everyone sins. You don't have to be in a federal prison today. You don't have to have a criminal record today. The Bible says all men are sinners. No matter how good we may think we are, everyone sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So God said, you know what? By Adam's sin, sin has entered into the world and passed upon all men. I've raised four children. My children are all adults now. They all love the Lord Jesus Christ. They all serve Him. But as I raised them, I did not have to do certain things. I did not have to teach them how to be selfish. I did not have to teach them how to take things that did not belong to them. I did not have to teach them how to lie. Those things came naturally because they received from me not only a similar image and the same blood and maybe the same eye color, but they received from me a nature called a sin nature. And you've received a sin nature. It may not seem fair, but that's the reality. Sin has passed upon all men. So God sent another one. That one is Jesus Christ. And He lived a life without sin. The Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we were when He was on earth. And yet He never sinned. He went to the cross, a perfect and a holy Lamb. And there upon that cross, the Bible says that Jesus became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For He, God, hath made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, so that we could be made right, pure, holy in God's sight through what Jesus Christ has done. And He died for you. Peter said, and you heard Pastor LeBoux just read a moment ago, there from Peter's account, that he bore all of our sin in his own body on the tree, on the cross, and he paid your sin debt in full. Forget about those around you this morning. Focus just on yourself for a moment. Think about this. Christ died for me. He paid my sin debt in full. And there is a reason, because we owe a debt of sin. We should be punished for our sin. But Jesus Christ has paid that debt that we owe to a holy God. And he's made a way possible for us to have that sin forgiven. It comes not through us earning our forgiveness, but through what we read right here in Romans chapter 5, a free gift. Notice those words, twice said, a free gift. A free gift. God offers it to you. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, the wages of sin is death. Now, many times people think, I'm going to earn my way to God. I'm going to impress him with a good life. I'm going to impress him by being a good dad or a good mom, or I'm going to work hard to support my family. Somehow I'm going to impress a holy God that I'm worthy of entering into his kingdom. I'm worthy of being part of his family. God says, here's the only thing a man can ever earn. Death. Separated from God forever. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God offers you a gift, and he's the one who can give you the free gift of salvation. I want you to see one more thing this morning. He is the one mediator between God and men. Once again, I'd like you to go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, I'm going to begin to read in verse 3. First Timothy 2, verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Now listen to these sweet words. Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Look at me. I've been a minister for 34 years. I have an education. I have a lot of training. But as a minister of the gospel, I cannot give you eternal life. There's not a minister, pastor, or priest who has the ability or power to forgive your sin. There's no man on earth who has the ability to forgive sin. Except one man. The man Christ Jesus. I cannot unite you with God. But there is one man. His name is Jesus Christ. Who acts as a mediator. And I think most of you understand the term mediator. When you bring two people or two groups on opposite sides of an issue who cannot come together, and that mediator takes the hand of one and the hand of the other and brings them together in a unity. God is holy and I am not. I have no right to approach to a holy God. But God loved me so much, he said, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to send my son. He's going to pay your sin debt. And then he's going to take your hand, Jeff, and he's going to take my hand, and he's going to bring us together. And that's what my God did. 42 years ago, back in 1976, a long time ago, I know, but a day I'll never forget, when God saved me, when he sent his son to shed his blood for me, and Jesus, the mediator, grabbed my hand, and he grabbed the hand of a holy God, and he brought us together, and he gave me eternal life. That's what we want for every person in this room. I'm not feeling well. I'm sick. That's why I didn't go around shaking hands this morning. I'm not trying to be rude. I don't know I'll be able to talk to anyone after the service this morning. But so glad you're here. And just want you to know that we love you. We love you enough that we want you to hear the truth. We want you to know that Jesus Christ wants to save you and forgive your sin. And if you're here and you don't know him, I mean, enjoy the day, enjoy time with family, enjoy the special meal that you'll have with friends and family, but, oh, please, before you leave this place, call on Jesus Christ to save you and forgive you, become your Savior. He can do that for you. He wants to do that for you. It was a Sunday morning, much like this, when I received Christ as my Savior. I'll never forget that day. I was religious before then. I tried to live a good life before then, but I was not on my way to heaven. It wasn't until I called upon Jesus Christ to save me that He changed my life. And I would encourage you this morning to call on Him. We do this every Sunday. We have what we call a time of invitation, where we invite people to put their trust in Christ. And we have a hymn played. And if you say, I would like to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I would like to know that my sins are forgiven. But I want to make sure I understand this properly. Then if you would come while we sing this song of invitation, we'll have someone take you to the side privately and speak with you so you can know that you have eternal life. Maybe for some here, it's not a matter that you need to receive Christ. Maybe you already have. But you just need to maybe rededicate your life to Him. Say, God, on this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday, I am choosing to live for You as I ought to live for You, putting You first in my life. Whatever your need is this morning, here's the good news. The one, Christ Jesus, can meet your need. He died for you, shed His blood for you, and 3 days later rose again from the dead so that you can have victory and you can have salvation. And He'll give that to you if you merely ask. So I would like you to do this. I'd like you to stand with me, and we'll pray together. And after we pray, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And as we sing that hymn of invitation, it's 189, Calvary Covered It All. I would encourage you to make your way down this altar. Father, I thank You for all who are here this morning. Lord, I wish I had had an opportunity to meet everyone this morning and thank them for being here, but Lord, I know You knew they would be here, and You know every need. Many who already know You as their Savior, but there could be one who does not. And Lord, what a great day it would be for them to put their trust in Your Son and believe Him for their salvation. You have the ability and the power to forgive their sin. And Lord God, I pray today that they would turn to You and receive You as their Savior. Whatever their need may be, Lord, You meet that need, and we'll thank You for it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.